This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
The dude got carried out of the comedy club.
It was probably my favorite carrying out of... I've seen a lot of people get booted from shows, but the guy was in the front row. You know, we tried. Didn't work out. He had to go. And the bouncer just... The door staff just took the chair because the guy refused to get up, and he just pulled it out the back door.
Dragged him all the way to the steps to the upper level and then got him out of his chair. And then the guy tried to do a cocky walk-off, like, ooh, I'm a badass, and almost fell down 7 times trying to get out the door.
It looked like a time lapse. You know, they had made people in chairs look like it's just driving itself around?
It did.
But in reverse, it was a time lapse where the guy just zipped out of there in the chair, and the lights were so bright you couldn't really see the bouncer. So you could just see this kid, just his chair go in reverse, and he was goners, bro.
I wish the bouncer would have been dressed in a chroma key suit, a green chroma key suit, so we could have filmed it and then cut him out. And it would have looked like that scene from the Poltergeist, when they're in the kitchen and the table keeps sucking back from the table into the wall.
Yep.
It would have been hilarious. This dude from Texas, who builds Navy ships, we're very proud of him for what he does for a living or whatever, had a few too many, could not control himself at our show at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. And by the time you got on stage, the dude wasn't even forming words anymore. He was just like making sounds.
Yeah, I walked into a shit show there, but it was an awesome crowd. Philly just gets lit. That's what they do in the summer here, bro.
Thursday, 8 o'clock show. The crowd was drunk.
Lit up, kid. Awesome, awesome
crowd. It was
crowd.
Great.
I mean, my man obviously lost his cool. He don't even remember being there, I bet.
No. I mean, but, he was a good dude. I'm sure he's a good dude. He was just operating on autopilot, blacked out, and didn't even know that his mouth was moving.
Nope. No idea.
His brain was, like, trying to save him. Like, hey, call an Uber. And he just thought that meant I should say things to the guy in front of me.
I was in the middle of a joke and he was just going, where are you from, man? Hey, man, where are you from? I was like, come on, shut the fuck up, man.
I was talking to that married couple next to him and I'm like, hi, how long you guys been married? And he was like, yeah, so how long you guys been married? Where'd you meet? Like, he was taking over the crowd work at that point.
I know. It was a full Q&A when I got up there. This guy, I felt like I needed to sit down, maybe get a drink, you know what I mean? Get some white lighting. But either way, it was a sick-ass, a wonderful show. Everybody's hammered, had a good time. Another great night at another great comedy club. And now we are currently at Valley Forge Casino in the floor area. Floor, the bottom event center. ACL, fourth national of the year. Final chase. A lot of action yesterday. We are just hanging out, me and you right now. I think you're up... We split the first set of 10 games 5-5. Right now, you're up 5-4.
It's been a tight race.
Second set.
Tight race. We're getting better is the problem.
Yes.
Which means me, I get more pissed off when I throw a bad shot. We're used to. That just happened. But now the bad shots are happening less and less, and that fucking is driving me crazy because now I think I'm better than I am. Like, I shouldn't make mistakes. especially obvious ones.
Yeah.
And it's fucking with my head. But it's probably part of it, because we're going to be pro, well, probably within the next 3 months.
Yeah, I'm probably, there is rumblings of me being the 2023 Rookie of the Year in the ACL. Mm-hmm. As far as cornhole goes, I'm probably going to take over the whole operation by 2025. You know, you won't even know anybody but me. Okay? I'm going to be the only guy with six bag sponsors.
I'm going to team up with Ian Cripps, who's the 11-year-old boy who is just walking through pros right now, like the biggest names. He's taking them all down.
He definitely took down Cody Henderson in the bracket yesterday.
Yeah.
And in singles.
Then he beat Eric Davis, too, I think. Yeah. Like, it's this
kid. These are both top five guys, by the way.
It's incredible. We're going to put him in a video today, so hopefully you guys can see that.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't even have to. He's like, he's going to be ready to go by the time this becomes an Olympic sport. He's going to be like 18 or 20, and he's going to take home the gold. There's no way. There's another person as good as him in cornhole.
He's 11, bro. And, you know, all these kids are taking over. Trey Burchfield, 18. You know what I mean? And also young and amazing. And I'm looking to really dominate the seniors league in the next 10 years.
Yeah, me too. That's why I'm stepping in. I'm going to wait till I'm 55.
You're closer. You're only 5 years out from the senior league. Yep. You can be a real savage then.
I am. I'm going to take it all over.
You'll be able to dip in your mouth and shit, letting it fly.
Oh, yeah. Nobody chews, which is discouraging. You know, I would be the first one to keep a lip around during gameplay.
And sipping a cocktail.
Yeah. So
that's just respectable. I mean, that's just you being you, a classy individual.
I mean, I'm going to play like how I play in the backyard.
They call you a role model for a reason.
Oh, role model, icon.
Yeah.
I mean, people that are all retired. I'm going to be able to start a whole new career in Florida, where I'm just like the king of the retired people.
Yep.
And I'm going to be their corner champion. I'm going to be riding around Orlando on a golf cart.
I love that.
Get the four-seater at least.
I'll get the six-seater. That's my class.
Yeah, six-seater for sure.
You know why they put gravel around old people's house? Because they can't. It's like quicksand to them.
Yeah.
They can't get out. They're trapped in the crib.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's like you just be running in place, walking in place on the gravel.
I'm going to get a double-wide trailer.
Yes.
And I might even add on a bump out to the back of it.
I'll tell you what, the trailer doesn't get enough respect. You know, these shipping containers show up, right? All they are is four metal walls and start taking the glory because you can weld them to each other. Oh, yeah? Have you ever been on a double wide? Because guess what? You could drive away with that piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. I can just hook it up to my truck, move to a new city, start a new life.
Yeah.
All I need is a hitch and a ball.
That's it. So take your little, you know, but I will say this. I'm guilty. I love container homes.
They're pretty cool.
I love the way they stack them up, do all the different shit with them.
I wish I knew how to arc weld.
We should learn how to weld.
Yeah. Then I would just build my own shipping container community. I'm starting a shed community in my backyard.
Yeah. So you're making a big move here. Mm-hmm. See, I like this move, though, because normally the old McComas will just get engaged, you know?
Right.
You'd be down at the jewelry store, and they'll be like, here comes Todd again.
Here we go.
Right? But this time, you're like, you know what? Before I hit the engagement ring, let me just buy my lady and outfit her shed to go next to my shed.
And she bought it herself.
Oh.
Quite the investment on her behalf. What if it doesn't work out? You going to take your shed with you?
Yeah. Hey, come get your fucking shed before it becomes
back
a lounge.
Up your office. It's all got the backyard. Or it's going to become a podcast studio.
Yep.
You got 3 days.
Just know, if the shit don't work out, your investment it's still not going to go to waste.
Right.
You just helped us build a podcast studio.
Yeah, we'll create content out of it. So it's not like you wasted your money.
Yeah. I mean, she gets it.
Yeah. I mean,
she's
you won't
very
be able to use it anymore,
woman.
But, you know, we will.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to build a shed on the other side. We're going to build a fucking road in there.
That's next. We got to put a shed. All right, so.
I want to be under the trees.
Yeah, yeah. You know what those
style shed.
Toward that corner?
Yeah, I want
we need one in between those two trees.
Yeah.
So that the limbs hang over or whatever.
Yep.
And I don't know what we'll do in there. Maybe that's the podcast studio. Because we'll have the bar that faces the house at the very rear middle of the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Hers faces the bar shed. and the back of it is against the back of the house by the stone patio. So we just keep going around. We put your podcast studio / bunkhouse right there between the trees in the corner. And then what we got to do is fill in one on each side of that. We have like a little Wild West town out there. We put a little boardwalk walkway that you can just continuously walk from one to the other.
We should get like a goat or a horse or something, like a small horse, like a Shetland pony.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Like, yeah, one of those.
People aren't buying the Shetland ponies enough. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah, oh, they're real awesome. Have you seen the little dwarf ponies that they, I don't know, mini horses or whatever, the miniature horses?
They still call it a midget horse. They don't like that.
No, I wouldn't, because horses, you know, they fought through that. The dwarf horses fought through that.
Yeah, they did.
In the 50s.
This is what I quote, this is a dwarf horse talking about, you know, the plight of their lifestyle. He said, I was like, wow.
And it touched everyone.
It was, people were floored, bro.
And it changed.
People were floored.
I mean, they were, you know, they were going to have their own Dwarf Horse Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right before that happened. And then they went on strike. All the dwarf horses that were actors. And it still ended up a pretty good movie, but
yeah,
it would have been better
because
they were going to be unicorns.
They fucked themselves out of the rights for you know, for their future checks and all that. But you know what?
Right.
It's worth it. You know, they won the war. They might have lost a couple of battles.
The original casting for Wizard of Oz. People won't know this, but it is available on the web if you
it's
dig hard
enough.
So instead of the flying monkeys, it was originally going to be winged dwarf unicorn Pegasus horses.
Yep.
And they end up, you know, they went on strike because they were calling them midget horses at the time, and they wouldn't stand for it. They were way ahead of the human dwarf in that regard, and it changed. They went flying monkeys instead.
And you know what? That's and the rest was history.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, some sort of animal back there, you know? There's just so, and also, if we put a shed in that back left corner, that northeast corner of yours, no, your southeast corner of your yard, we could probably extend a patio up top into a treehouse to your two trees.
Oh, good call. Good
now
call.
We have we could maybe run like a mezzanine, you know what I mean? Down the way to the other sheds.
Yes. We could even hunt deer from up there.
Yeah.
If we wanted.
Do trick, maybe do a zip line.
Maybe a zip line
from my shed to your lady's office.
But
I'll land right between the bar shed and then your lady's shed. That's where we can land at right there. So if your lady uses it, she can just zip right to her shed.
Yes.
And if you use it, you zip right to the bar.
Yeah, I like that. A two-way zip line.
Yep.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, but just so you can hang on, we're not buckling. We're just going to hold on to the little bar like OG in the spies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to. It all revolves around the bar, for sure. But, you know, we'll get started. We end up with 5-6 sheds back there.
I'm going to go to the bank and get a personal loan now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to make my money work for money. It don't even make sense.
You can get a good insulated shed. You got to finish out the guts of it yourself, but with like fancy windows, fancy doors. Right around $13,000.
That's not bad.
They'll make it for you. And the Amish.
Is this a quote you just got?
Yes, the Amish make it, and so you know it's good craftsmanship.
Yeah, you ever? I mean, I've seen I was good and stoned one day on YouTube, and I watched a bunch of Amish dudes on build a shed right there in fast motion.
Oh, really?
It was a 5-minute video, so you know it was a very intricate operation to be a 5-minute fucking sped up video.
Yeah. I mean, they'll build an entire house in a day. Like, when one of them has a fire or something, they'll rebuild that house in like a day.
Yeah, they are the king of the little house. You know, and you know what? Listen, I like it. It's a niche market. No one's trying to move in on it. I don't know any other ethnic or religious group that just, or whatever they are considered.
Listen.
I don't know anybody trying to market, you know, a corner of that market, the little shed house market.
This is why I respect the Amish. If you think about it, it's 2021, and still every day for the Amish is like the Oregon Trail. I mean, if they want to go to the grocery store, it's a haul. Like, they lose 2 or 3 family members from diseases that we don't even get anymore.
Yeah.
They die of smallpox all the time. You know, they just leave family members along the way to the grocery store, and on the way back, you know. And
now, if they say they're running to the store, do they actually get on the horse and go fast, or do they just, is it just an expression? I would like to, because I never,
wagon.
The only time I see people running on the horse, like the horse at top speed, is when they're being chased by Indians or other bad cowboys or other, like maybe the police on horseback.
Agreed. I never see just a single Amish guy on horseback running around like it's the Old West.
Just being like, yo, I got to get to the store.
Do you have to hitch it to a wagon to go around? It's real slow.
Yeah. I mean, besides, you want to keep mileage on those wagons low because the maintenance on those wood wheels alone will drive you goddamn insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine? When you get a flat on an Amish buggy, I mean, you're out of debt.
You're fucked.
You got to make a whole new wheel.
You have to go and find a bunch of sticks and branches and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And try to rig it up.
Yeah.
With some vines.
A spare? I never see a spare on the back, like a Jeep. Like, you know, Jeeps have a spare on the back.
Yeah.
Why do they not have a spare wooden wheel on the back?
Like I'm that. Sure that someone listening is some sort of wagon historian, and they could let us know that, yes or no, the wagon did have a spare wooden rim
mm-hmm.
on the back.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're, children say whims. Like, they can say nice whims. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they're actually saying nice rims when they're complimenting your car.
Yes.
Those are nice 20-inch whims. And I'm like, thanks, little buddy.
Mm-hmm.
They're 22s, though, but whatever.
They're not good at math yet. They don't even know their colors, a lot of them.
But the kid said, no, those whims are 20s. And I said, all right, kid, you got me. You caught me slipping. I was bullshitting there.
I tell you what the Amish are really missing out on is that they have no way to listen to anything privately without other people listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like...
it's got to be live band, bro.
If they're listening to a podcast, all it is one elder sitting in a rocking chair just telling stories out loud to everybody. They got no way to consume it just by themselves like we do. Like, if I want to listen to my favorite podcast, which is Guns Blazing Podcast, and let's say I don't want to bother anybody else in the room with it because there's strong language use.
Yes.
And I spend a lot of time at Christian libraries.
Yep.
So I'm just going to listen to it myself. I use my Raycon wireless earbuds.
Well, that's because you're smart, Todd. Everybody else, dumb. People with Raycons, smart. Okay? If I could equate people who use their Raycons to a sound, it would be this. When you crack a fresh beer open, you're like, now that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And that's why we love Raycon headphones, guys. Because I'll tell you right now, whether it's for work or play, a lot of us are on the move again this summer. My advice to you, grab your Raycons and let's make a move.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycons look great and feel even better. And they come in a wide range of cool-ass colors and with customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. Sean, what kind of shaped ear holes do I have?
You have some weird-ass ear holes, bro.
Weird.
It was like somebody had a broken penis and they had left it there in your ear and they just at least rest it there.
That's what, and I...
and it molded around it.
That was my nickname in high school in all sports.
Yeah.
Broken penis ear hole McComas.
Yeah, but the thing is that it was long enough that it could rest on your own ear.
Yeah.
So you would fall asleep on that side so you wouldn't cut off the circulation.
Absolutely. Try to fit when the earbuds that come with your electronic device or with your phone in there.
Yeah.
This shape of your hole. Not happening.
Nope.
It falls out every time I move my head. Raycons, it doesn't matter, man. They fit like a glove, like an ear glove.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been able to have any other pair stay in my ear while I exercise. Because I exercise, what, 7-8 hours a day?
Minimum, dude.
Minimum.
On a light day, kid.
I CrossFit for 3 hours, and then I run an Ironman triathlon for the last 4.
You first dude ever do crisscross fit where you do cross and you come back criss the other way.
Crisscross fit. Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
Fit.
That's double the fitness.
With my legs crossed. I did a whole Ironman triathlon sitting in the seated position with my legs crossed.
And you know what? That Ironman triathlon took hours and hours, and guess what? Mm. Your Raycons didn't die out because you know why? They have a 24-hour battery life, guys. That's why.
Come on. Seamless pairing with your device. Like, I'd never have any problem whatsoever.
No.
It's my desktop, my laptop, my phone.
Nope.
It doesn't matter. Listen up. There's a deal for you guys. You guys like, listen, we understand it's a great product. You've done a great job of selling it, but what's the deal that we get exclusively for being listeners of Guns Blazing Podcast? Let them know what it is, Sean.
Here's what's going on, guys. Right now, Raycon offering 15% off of all their products, okay, for our listeners, okay? But here's what you got to do to get the deal. Go to buyraycon.com/gunsblazing and get you 15% off your entire Raycon order, okay? Now, do the math here, guys. Okay, if you spend $100, this is $15 off. Now, you just double it. Every time you double the 100, double the 15. That's how it works. That's how percentages work, guys.
Let's go. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. Listen, Jesus, I wish monkeys could really fly. That was the be best awesome. Part of Wizard of Oz. I'm happy with that casting choice.
Way to come back to that. Movie. That was really smooth of you to remember everything.
I know, but it terrified me so much when I was a little kid. Did you watch it when you were looking? When I was a little kid.
I was terrified by Gremlins.
Oh, Gremlins are also scary. That was supposed to be a kid's movie. And you went there, and now I was a little bit older than you were when that came, because you're like my sister's age. So I remember taking my sister there, and my mom and dad were like, oh, it'll be cute. You take your little sister to this kid's movie. Oh, nightmares for months.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was terrible.
You ended up becoming a cop for 22 years because you wanted to fight crime like those little fucking flying monkeys.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was criminal activity, and you said, uh-uh, friends, I'm committed to this game. I'm bringing people down like that.
The
proverbial, if you will, flying monkey.
The Wizard of Oz flying monkey was my gremlin. And I had nightmares about it. I mean, they were scary. They tore the scarecrow apart. Like, they dismembered him.
It's done.
Jumping up and down on him, like, making that scary monkey, flying monkey.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. That was a very good noise by you.
Thanks.
You should maybe get into animal voiceover.
I'm thinking about it. I'm not getting any prettier, so I'm done with video. I go straight to audio voiceover animal voices.
So if you have any kind of project coming up or you guys need animal noise voiceover, now you know where to go. Todd McComas, okay? GunsBlazingPodcast.com.
Listen up, National Geographic. You need better voiceover people.
And you also need, they need more of the titties on the front, and you have those.
On the covers, they showcased.
And you have a really big nipple. It's awkwardly large.
It is.
It's like a personal pan pizza size.
It is. It is. Basically,
not square ones, the circle ones.
That's my entire chest.
Which is weird. It's like one big nipple.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Target.
That's why you don't ever let your lady touch your chest, because it tickles too much.
Yeah, I'm like, it's too sensitive.
It's like one big nipple.
You're giving me buddy.
Do you think that there is anybody that was ever born with pure, just their entire skin was all nipple skin?
Oh, wouldn't that be crazy?
You're just one big nipple, like one big nipple?
It's had to happen, because birth defects happen all the time. God took that seventh day
What
off.
A sensitive guy, huh?
Right? Like if your whole skin is nipple skin? Oh my God.
So every time you bang into something, it's like, it's bad, but it also feels good in a weird way, you know?
You wouldn't even be able to wear clothes.
Stub your toe? Ouch! Thank you. You know, it's
weird.
Can
someone make me an entire suit out of bra material, please?
Jesus.
My whole body is a nipple.
Ooh, one big ass clamp in your living room. What's that for? Don't worry about that.
It's so cold.
About that 9-foot clamp, buddy.
Why can't you bend over? Because I'm totally erect right now. It's cold.
Yeah, buddy. I'm rock hard right now.
I have BHO.
It's freezing in here. My entire body hardens up. You know, again, that's just us exploring possibilities of a certain type of thing. You know what I mean?
We have a theory, and listen, I don't want to offend anybody about your religious beliefs or any of that stuff. Like, to each their own. If you're happy with your religion and your beliefs, I'm happy for you. But what if God would have worked the entire week? We have serial killers. We have people that are fucked up in so many ways. A lot of people with horrible birth defects, whatnot. There had to be something in the genetic code that was screwed up by that taking that day off.
I mean, if you think about it, from what I understand, he was only working 5-hour shifts.
Right.
So you didn't work 6 days, buddy.
I mean, back then, I think planetary creation was union. So, you know, nobody could control that.
Yep.
I mean, you can only work like 1 hour on, 1 hour off, break. But listen, I think he could have done a lot better.
Dude, I was in the sheriff's department, bro. I would work 30, 40 days straight. You're telling me I can do it in a jail and Jesus can't do it on earth? You take a day off? Fuck out of here.
Come on.
Get back to work,
Jesus.
Come on,
God. It was actually God, I think, but
whoever did it.
Jesus did a lot too.
Jesus is God.
Depending
on what religion, you know.
Yes,
is there two of them? Is it a son? Is it a family? What's going on here?
Are they actually one? Nobody really knows.
Nobody knows.
It's a big mystery.
Dude. By the way, he's probably not even white. I mean, the area he's from is like northern Egypt or some shit.
Right.
That's pretty hot down there.
I mean, really the only thing we've ever proven from any kind of scripture, like scientifically proven, was that Joseph Smith found those gold tablets in his backyard.
Yeah, and Mormonism, 100% true.
Yes.
That's not a fairy tale. That's a real book.
There's no way that dude could have made that up.
No, sir. I'll tell you, I think we were next to his partner last night at the craps table.
We were.
This dude was religious. I mean, this guy... Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I've played a lot of craps. I've done a lot of casino work in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I always end up playing craps, and I love craps. You know, we do a lot of shows, this stuff, a lot of casino shit going on.
Right.
So I've always played craps. I've probably played 7,000 times, and last night I had a first. A couple of firsts, actually, the craps
two firsts. Don't forget the KKK rally.
Philly gets lit, dude. The people in this town are living it up right now. I'm at the craps table. I'm doing all right. All of a sudden, some dude rolls up next to me. But he comes up with the director guy, like the VIP and director of the casino, with the nice, not just the suit, okay? But like the vest under the suit, the nicer shirt. Not the basic Macy's black suit, white shirt, the cuffs that go too far, like down to the bend of the knuckle of your thumb. This guy was dialed in. So when that guy's walking somebody to craps table, the dude's got dough.
Right.
Because then he had a sign. I've never been at a craps table and had a sign for shit.
No.
I saw this dude sign a signature and get about 50 to 100, $100 chips at a time, about three different times.
That means he has a line of credit with the casino.
And this guy was the friendliest dude. He introduces himself to everybody on our end of the table. I'm the comedian. That's what he kept calling me. And he was throwing down $100 bets to back up our pass line bets. But he was doing it. It was like a Robin Hood. But he was robbing from himself and giving to the poor.
He was. He was spreading the wealth. He was from Kokomo, Indiana, of all.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was bullshitting me, but I guess he was in a software game. And he said, yeah. But I said, for real, I asked him that. He's like, actually, I am. I'm like, yeah, I could fucking tell that. His name was Paul. And his buddy Stevie L.
Yeah.
Now, this guy probably gave each of us $400 to $500 in bets.
And he was buying rounds.
And you know
drinks.
What? I would never in a million years pocket that.
No.
I did come out. I was already up above my money before I sat at the table. So I had taken my 150 that I had put in, and I put it in my pocket. And I was playing on house money and Paul's money, basically.
The one lady to your right,
Mary.
Mary ended up telling us that he personally made her $800 off bets he laid down for her.
Yeah.
$800.
He was throwing down $50 hot bets for everybody at the table. And that's a one-off bet.
Yes.
That's a one-roll bet. This guy just didn't... I think what happened is that the bank that he uses for money, they ran out of space. So he's like, oh, don't worry. I'll make some room.
I've got to get rid of some of this money.
Yeah.
The vaults are full. I think it happens. He also was evidently going through a divorce, so he was out having a good time.
He's trying to say, you know what? I'm not spending... I only have to give it all away anyways. I might as well give away half of this is not even mine.
Oh, I never thought about that. Maybe he was trying to get rid of a bunch of them before the paperwork started.
All I know is this. You gotta call me. Uh-oh, we got
staff. Trouble.
We got the casino staff down here. It's just popping off. Always know this. The guy at the casino with the limp and the walkie-talkie running shit.
Yeah, you're awesome. That's a guy who used to be big in the industry in Vegas. And something happened, and now he's working in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania.
On the low.
But you can tell he's got the experience. Something happened.
You can see how he carries that walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that happened, I think you guys all went to bed, and I kept playing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the table, first of all, the table got cold, so me and Todd started going with the dome pass line and cleaning house.
People are not happy about it, but you know what? We were out to make money.
I said, listen, it's a cold table.
We play ours.
And here's what I did. When I started to roll, and I was betting against myself, I was yelling out to the casino that I was trash to bet against me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, guys, I'm a piece of dog shit. Bet the don't pass line.
You were warning them, letting them know.
Yeah.
Also bet this way. And they wouldn't. They thought, oh, this is some kind of joke. This guy, he's really a hot shooter. He's just trying to ham it up. We're going to bet with him. And they kept losing. We're like, I'm telling you, bro. I'm a loser tonight.
Yes.
Lose with me. Win with me.
So then what happens is some other drunk ass dude comes rolling up to the table. Were you here for the racist part?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Right next to that dude.
So me and you are next. We're at the table. We're betting the don't pass line. This guy was not having it. He hated what we were doing.
Hated it.
But when he came up, I said, my guy, this table is cold as balls. We're
telling
going to go
right
pass
now.
On him.
Telling you right now what's happening. Don't get pissed about it. Pick another table if you're not on board with it.
And what's he do? He bets the pass line. Mm-hmm. And I roll a 7. We're cheering, and he's getting pissed.
Very
pissed. Anyways, dice go around. There's this black kid's been playing all night. Great energy. Kid's been hitting numbers. We're kind of buddies.
He was the only one we would bet with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So something happens.
Well, this guy started hitting numbers. He never hit his point, right, when it was his roll. And he kept telling us he wanted me to pass my roll, which I should have. I 7'd out right away. But at least I didn't waste people's time. I went out quick. And he was like, finally got the dice. He was like, oh, just rolling his eyes. And he starts getting hot. You know, he establishes a point, which was a 4. Not great, but, you know, that's his point. And then he starts hitting a lot of numbers. I even told you, I'm like, oh, this guy's going to hit a lot of numbers, you know, before he goes out. And then he goes out, like, after, I don't know, he hits, like, 6 numbers, and then, boom, 7 times. And he won't even look your way or my way. He looks immediately at the black guy, and he goes, you really, really, you were going to bet against me that whole time, or whatever? And with your nappy-ass head, and fuck it, and we were like, what? Nappy-ass hair? Like, you can't say that, bro.
When the black homie wasn't having it, he came around the table with the quickness, got in dude's face,
right,
ready to square off. And then the pit boss stepped in security, and the racist got booted out. But what a fucking wild riot that craps table last night.
Oh, it was wild, dude. I had never seen somebody be that openly racist in a long time, straight up to somebody. I wish the black dude just would have knocked him the fuck out.
I bet you the casino probably wouldn't even kick him out because it was so racist.
I mean, you can't. Like, you know, it's open season on racists, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Hit you in the head with a bottle of freaking fruit tea.
Yeah, that shit was crazy, but it was so much fun. And outside of that happening, I'm just saying, like, it's been a wild weekend. I mean,
evidently,
congratulations
to
Ryan Windsor on winning the Nationals for singles.
Yeah, and evidently there was a big-ass fight right here where we are.
Really?
Right now, in the basement last night. Yeah, there was some drunk-ass dude grabbed, like, one of the pros that was, like, mouthing out, like, dude, I could beat you right now. And he went to play for $500. So the dude, finally, they were like, no, you don't want to do that. And he was like, oh no, I'll whip your ass. And finally, he was like, all right, are you really going to bet $500? And he was like, yeah. So they came down here.
Did they make him put the money out first?
Stacy, the commissioner, was here, whatever. And they got the money out. Stacy took possession of the money, like, all of the money. And the pro put up $1,500 against this guy's $500, right? No, I think it was 5-1. So I think he might have put out.
Really?
$500, yeah.
Against the dude's $500?
Yeah, so Stacy's holding the money, and they gives the guy.
By the way, Stacy is the leader of all the ACL. Right. He's owner, organizer, leader, CEO of American Cornhole.
And he likes
Cornhole.
To have a good time.
He's a great guy.
You guys check him out on our IGTV that's come from the live thing we did last night on Instagram. He was the one DJing. Anyway, so I guess the story they told me was this guy gets spotted 15 points by the pro. It's like 17-15 right away, and then the pro just boom, 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 just buries him, like scores 10 on him, whatever. And then the guy tries to grab the money, and he goes, you busted. And they're like, no, there's no bust, bro. Like, we established the rules up front. Like, we're using American Cornhole League rules. You don't bust.
Yeah, what kind of fucking cop-out, weak-ass bullshit is that?
So he tries to do that. He tries to grab the money. And then he tries to fight this pro who's, like, down here. Like, the big, you know, big dude with the beard. He's, like, 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
And weighs, like, probably 330. It looks
like
he probably played Division I ball somewhere. He tries to fight this dude. And of course, he gets his ass kicked, and then security comes down, puts a grab on him, and walks him the fuck out.
Man, but he did pay, right?
Oh yeah, so they kept the money.
Oh hell yeah, that's awesome, bro. That's how you take $500 off a dummy right there.
Right?
That's the dummy. We've been doing this our fourth or fifth event this year, working with these guys, and everybody's so amazing and fun and awesome here, and nice to be around. But Philly has just been lit. There's just the shit going down left
Philly
and right.
Philly is a crazy city. Evidently, like, when we were going to the club, it's only like 17 miles, but it took us like an hour and 20 minutes to get there. because there was crashes on the interstate or whatever, and it routed us through all these little neighborhoods and stuff along the way, and we go through a really nice neighborhood, and then we get to the show, and the MC tells us that neighborhood, like, for the past several months, they keep finding suitcases with dead hookers, dead prostitutes, dismembered, put into a suitcase, and you find them on the roadway. And then he sent me a thing today, or last night, that said, it was yesterday morning, and the show was the night before, and he said, I told you, man, they just found two more right there where you drove through. And he showed me the thing on the map, right where we drove through, found two more in briefcases.
And there's a goddamn sicko on the loose.
There's a serial killer. There's a Jack the Ripper running around killing
Just go
prostitutes.
Find the guy that's got the most credit card statements for suitcase purchase.
Right?
Like, that's where my investigation starts. Ross.
Yeah.
TJ Maxx.
Who's your VIP customers? I don't know. All the luggage manufacturers and looking at...
Who's buying all the Ralph Lauren Polo suitcases?
Come on. That guy. He's killing people.
That's how you know your brand is on the way down, by the way. When Ross starts selling it, you're fucked. That's how you know, bro.
I have a big-ass suitcase over there where I pack all my gear in.
That's definitely a Ross suitcase. That thing is shitty.
I think I could fit a body in there without cutting it up.
You could. It depends, I think.
Depends on how tall
Too
you
bad
are.
We can't get that dude in the horn, give us a little advice on, like, as far as logistics goes. All right, we're taking this too far. That was insensitive on my part.
It was, but he might be listening to this podcast. He might want one of those suitcases. I don't know. I don't know what kind of suitcases he's using. We need to look into it. Probably the police are releasing that information.
Maybe he's a guy that works at the airport and he's stealing the suitcases.
Ah, I could.
That's a guy that's got he's got the in on the case.
We need to check for stolen police reports. People reporting stolen luggage, stolen suitcases.
Just like Christopher Moltisanti was doing at the airport in Sopranos.
I mean, if you're going to rob a bank, you're going to use a stolen car. You're going to cut up a body and put it in a suitcase, you're going to use a stolen suitcase. That's great police work by you right there.
And by the way, if I'm a low-budget bank robber and I decide to use my car as a getaway car, but I change the license plates or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to have a car painting at my house. I'm going to be able to spray paint my car very fast. I'm going to have a car painter.
Oh, yeah, like an auto body place. Just set up, just run it through.
Yep.
Like one of those quick paint things.
Yeah.
What are they, $299?
I'd add a tint to it, some different rims, some different whims.
Yeah,
get some I should nice have said whims. I had a callback.
Damn it.
I blew it. God damn it! But what are you going to do?
Those are nice whims on your bank robber call. Thanks, Timmy.
Thanks, little Timmy. I tell you this right now. I was thinking about this yesterday. I think the dude that works on thrusters over at NASA has got it made as a single dude at bars, bro. Can you imagine telling chicks that you just work on thrusters?
Oh, yeah.
You're a fucking NASA engineer and I only work on thrusters? Who don't want to get thrusted by a thruster guy? The only problem is you have to bring the heat in the sack. You can't be telling chicks that you work on thrusters and you ain't got no thrusting.
Right.
Like, this guy is the thrustless motherfucker I ever met. You work on thrusters?
I mean, you should be the best at thrusting during sex because you understand physics.
Propulsion on another level.
Yes. You understand aerodynamics, physics, you know, air resistance, all these things.
Weight balance.
Oh, yeah. What do they call that? The explosive force?
Propulsion.
Propulsion.
Oh, I just said it. 2 seconds.
There you go.
Huh?
There you go. I mean, if you're disappointed
now,
in the sack, then...
Yeah, you better just say that you fucking do the AC or whatever on the ship.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this, though. On the flip side, let's talk about the NASA engineer that works on thrusters that can thrust.
Ooh.
Now we got honeys being like, yo, last night... I met a dude that works at NASA on thrusters, and he thrust the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy was born to work in the thrust game.
You might think there's some, I'd say, he knows the physics behind thrusting, he knows how to thrust, but say he's got some physical limitations. Do you think there's a dude out there who engineers his own thrust harness to, like, he wraps around his waist and straps around his thighs, and it's kind of bionic, and it just...
Oh, I know what you're talking about there. I see what you're doing.
It thrusts his hips on his, on, you
yeah.
know, with
I think at
force.
That point, you should just get a Sawzall and just put the dildo attachment on it and then just you just be in charge of the trigger. Mm. It's going to be a cheaper operation. Either way, it's not you doing the thrusting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's either the suit you're talking about, the thrust suit.
But you're in there. You're experiencing the pleasure behind it as well.
Oh, okay.
Just say you don't have good hip action. Let's say you've got a, I don't know.
Let's say you come out too far, though, and you bang the wall. That's always going to be bad, especially with a thruster machine.
Yeah.
Now you're running your penis, a rock hard penis, into a hip. And that's the, and with the RPMs of a thrusting machine.
Oh, and what?
Forget about it. That's called broken cock.
What if during like testing you try it out and it, because then everything goes wrong in testing, and it goes wrong and it just, you can't turn it off and it's too powerful and you
and then there's drywall damage.
What if you kill a woman from thrusting?
So I say, you know what? I would stick with the Sawzall personally.
Yeah.
I do like where your mind is going with the thruster suit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a sex Iron Man suit, what you're explaining.
Yeah, yeah. But
except
only
with your
sex.
Real cock.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's very the ingenuity aspect of that is beautiful. But I think functionality, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, I think
people are going to get hurt.
Yeah, it's not going to do well. Baby, fuck the drywall. Women are going to be getting busted up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that I just don't want to be in charge of thrashing uterus. You know what I mean? Like, come on. They need that.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever used that word on a microphone, by the way. I'm not sure how comfortable I feel with myself right now.
Uterus?
Yeah, I said uterus on this podcast.
Yeah.
Why did they give the uterus such a fucked up name? It's so important.
Yeah, I would just call it like baby sack or something. You know what I mean?
Something else. Anything but uterus. Like, that's the worst. That sounds like a fucking king's baby name cannon. From 1480.
Maybe
King Uterus.
Maybe it's the baby cannon. Maybe something like that. That's where the baby comes out, right? It shoots out of the uterus.
I'm pretty sure the BBC is going to pick this podcast up. I'm almost certain of it.
I mean, it's basically an interactive Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all we should have called it.
Interactive Wikipedia cast.
Yes. I don't know. So I don't know the full reasons for uterus other than the baby function. So I know women don't need them after a while.
They don't need their uterus?
Yeah, you can get your uterus removed.
The uterus is at the end of the tunnels that go to the vagina, right?
Right. If you're not going to have babies, you don't necessarily need your uterus. So.
It's at the end of the tentacles.
Yes. It is.
That's what sperm twins do, right?
Yes. That's my understanding.
That's your understanding?
That's what I remember.
I never made it past those first 6 or 8 to 9, maybe 12 inches.
Right, right.
As far as the depth
never,
chart.
Never
the depth
really
chart.
Been able to explore farther than that.
Yeah, oh, shit, bro. We're just saying this, guys. If you're going to use a Sawzall with a dildo attachment, wear goggles, because the shit could get sloppy.
Yeah. I would just put a splash guard on the end of it anyway.
Oh, okay, good
just
idea.
Just put it like 6 inches back from where that part happens at the end.
And the good news is, the good news is this. There's going to be a lot of that hard plastic stuff that you use for the splash guard.
Mm-hmm.
Because now so many convenience stores and restaurants that had that sitting there for COVID, where that way when you talk to somebody, the COVID would just bounce back into your own face.
Right.
That's going to be a lot of that's going to be out back of restaurants.
Yeah.
And out back of convenience stores.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not saying there are plenty of women that are more handy construction-wise than I am.
Uh-huh.
But I can't help it. Whenever I'm at a Lowe's or Home Depot and I see a woman buying a Sawzall, I just automatically assume that it's going to be converted into a dildo.
A sex toy.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be one of the harder ones. You know what I mean? That's kind of like trying to commit suicide with a Long Barrel shotgun. You know what I mean?
I stopped the woman once, and I was like, hey, you shouldn't go with the battery one. You should get one that plugs directly in.
Yeah, well, I think if I'm a woman, I definitely want my sex toy to plug into the wall.
Yeah, I'm like, the batteries die really fast.
Yeah, if I wanted to have somebody quit on me halfway, I'd have sex with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's me slipping a real bit into this podcast.
I mean, I'm lucky to get through cutting out two windows before I got to change my room. So
yeah.
I don't know how quick you are. You know, but I would plug it straight in.
Right in.
Yeah.
Besides, batteries, come on. Who's got time to go to Walgreens for a 50-pack? You know what I mean?
Yeah, come on.
Have some respect.
You just switch them out.
Shout out to NASA thruster guy, though. That guy's crushing it. I hope he's really doing some good thrusting on his own personal life.
And if no one has the Twitter account right now, NASA thruster guy, grab it up.
Yeah, grab it up.
Start tweeting about all your thruster stuff.
And maybe tweet GIFs of actual thrusters and just be like, yo, me in a sack. You know,
ooh,
stuff like that.
There you go. Mean city. Like that. Good call.
Philly, though, what a wild-ass spot. People getting lit. I mean, lit. And I'll say this. Everybody I know from Philadelphia drinks fucking... They're really good drinkers.
They are. And it's not like... a couple problem drinkers would come across, but they weren't Philly people. They were from out of town. Philly people, I feel like, are very comfortable in their drinking. They're, you know, there's no sad sack drinkers. No, like, yeah. Want to punch you in the face.
Oh, God, right. The guy last night. He was a racist drunk.
Yeah, but he was from out of town.
Oh, okay. Good point, dude. Nice. Hey, I stand corrected. Mm-hmm.
I think he was a little closer to KKK country. If I had to guess. He might have been from southern
Indiana.
Somewhere
outside of Brownsburg.
Yeah.
By the way, a little Indiana inside joke there.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
It used to be the headquarters. That's a fact.
By the way, if you are the thrust guy at NASA, you have to call yourself the thrust master. He's a kidding guy. I'm just, hey, they call me the thrust. I can't even say the word no more.
I would walk thrust straight master. Into NASA after I checked into security or whatever, and they looked at my, hand me my thermos, coffee thermos back, and I'd be like, thrust master's in the house.
Oh,
let's go.
Thrust master's already on the tarmac, bro. He don't go through security, by the way.
That's true.
He fucking does the thrusters. He's the thruster guy.
What, if I worked at NASA, I would have a jetpack, and that's how I would get to work every day. I'm not going to work at NASA and just pull up in a car. Like I work at you know, some factory that makes widgets. Mm-hmm. I'm putting people into space with my thrusters. I'm going to wear a jetpack and fly over the building into the back parking lot.
I am pretty excited that we do have guys flying around in suits now with the thrusters on the feet.
Finally.
And shit. I've seen that one guy, he just flies around LA and shit. And no one knows who he is. You know there's like a random guy in a fucking rocket suit that just does around, just bombs around LA?
Seriously?
And they don't know who he is, what's going on? Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, this guy's my hero.
I love that he's not letting anybody know what he's about, who he is.
Yeah, he just... What are you going to do, catch the guy that has the flying suit? Fuck off.
Dude, that's how you rob a bank. You don't steal a car or whatever. You steal a jetpack. And then you rob the bank with the jetpack.
And you don't even have to get away tomorrow. All you have to do is get to open skies.
I would start with a car. When we're doing the getaway, get in the getaway car, mm-hmm. drive off, take two right turns, and stop. You know, like in the Ben Affleck movie, The Town. Where they stop and they switch cars.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to stop, put on my jetpack, gone.
Yeah. Because
they're going to shut down all the bridges and not let me out of town.
Yeah, shut down the bridges if dummies want to.
Go ahead, I'm flying in a jetpack.
That's for dummies like you who's still driving cars and you still have to fight against gravity every day.
Come on. We take our bank robbery a little more serious here.
I mean, I got
it. It's all about the getaway.
Jetpack. I would hit 9-10 banks a day in my jetpack.
At least. I would jetpack up to an armored car. Right to the side glass and point my gun at the guard through the window while I'm just flying beside it and like pull over. And then
I don't think to pull over though. I don't know if the backpack, the jet backpack helps me rob armored cars. Now if the door's open and you get them, but if they're in there safely, they're not going to undo the door. Now,
but
you...
I will have converted a sawzall to like a metal dildo, and I would. And chip
shout
right
out of that bulletproof glass.
Chip right through the bulletproof glass.
Like a woodpecker with a shinier helmet.
Yes.
I respect that.
I mean, I'm the jet thruster guy. I can make anything.
You're the thrust master.
The thrust master.
That's who you are. I would just rob the bank, fly up, leave the money on the roof, and just go around doing that. And then later on, after they're closed, go back collecting all my little sacks of cash on top of bank
roofs.
That's
a great idea. In case you get stopped, you got none of the loot on you.
Nothing. What are you talking about? I didn't rob shit. Maybe another guy that has a similar path to me is doing it.
Yeah. Just because I'm, like, you're profiling me because I'm wearing a jetpack, then all of a sudden I'm the jetpack bank robber?
Eat a bowl of shit. How about that? How about that with your circumstantial evidence, sir?
Yeah.
I got an idea. Why don't you go build the case first?
Yeah, why don't you get some evidence
before you solve it, pal?
Then come back and talk to me.
I mean, this is called detective work 101, my friend.
By the way, if you want to talk to me anymore, you can talk to my attorney.
Yeah.
I'm going to lawyer up right now.
As a matter of fact, let me link you up, put you on hold, and patch you over to my attorney and his team.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
That's when you know you're big time. When you say my lawyers or my attorneys,
mm-hmm.
like as in you have several.
Yeah.
My legal
like a whole firm, a whole legal team, a whole dream team.
If you have one lawyer, you're a piece of shit. If you have a whole legal team representing you, you're a goddamn gangster.
Mm-hmm. If I was rich, I would just constantly have Johnny Cochran on retainer.
Yeah.
Just so I can just say that all the time.
I'd have all types of motherfuckers on retainer.
Mm-hmm. All the best attorneys just on retainer all the time.
He's on retainer.
And I would just threaten people with that all the time.
That's how you know people, hey, buddy. If someone claims they're rich, be like, well, who you got on retainer? If they don't have an answer, you're bullshitting, yep. Right? You got no money.
You're
if
going
you had
to prison.
Money, you'd have people on retainer. You don't.
You're poor, you're going to prison.
You're on your own retainer.
Hmm. Brother, we're just solving the world's problems.
I'll tell you what right now. If you are in the political realm, forward this podcast to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Their think tank of problem solvers could probably use us.
Yes.
Reference us, guys. Hit us with the reference. Put us in motion. We're here to help.
We are.
And we're a bipartisan style group. Okay, I know that in a world of the political realm that we live in now, it's put very football. It's, you know, it's Raiders, Broncos type shit. But we are going to step in and be bipartisan and solve problems and be there for the people, not the parties.
Mm-hmm. How can Dwarf Horse do that? Find a Dwarf Horse, go to the little farm, to the little barn, the little tiny stable, uh-huh. Reach up and hug a Dwarf Horse.
And also do this. If you are a dwarf, you have a ton of cash, make a little tiny F-14 and then fly around in that. That's going to impress me, buddy.
Yes.
A little tiny F-14 is fucking awesome.
You could be itty-bitty Thrustmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Just saying, you know, just throw it out there. Are we in an hour?
This has been a good podcast.
Hey, buddy. Good luck to listen to this one.
Yeah. You guys are welcome for everything
welcome
that we just dropped on you over the last
by the way,
some minutes.
For those of you that reached out and thanked us for giving you $10, you're welcome.
Yes.
We gave everybody $10 on our last podcast, basically.
You know what? I'm gonna give a mood, Sean. I'm in a generous mood.
Yeah.
I think we up it. We double it.
Give
this
20?
Episode, we're gonna give everybody $20.
Everybody gets $20. Because you should be paying for this episode. $20.
Go ahead and take the 20 spot out of your wallet right now. Hand it out as if you're giving it to us.
Yep.
And then stop. Put it back in your wallet. You just made $20.
Yeah. Just close your eyes and pretend like that you're reaching out to give us the money. And our hands are like this. No, no, no. Your money's no good here. Okay, my hands are up like you're going to shoot me kind of look, but it's just you trying to hand us the $20 that we should take, but we're not.
You're listening for free right now. That's what we're saying. That's $20. You just made $20. You're making $20 an hour to listen to this podcast. You're welcome.
You're welcome. That's all we got, Todd. Let's go finish getting the coverage of today's doubles action here, Valley Forge, the ACL, fourth national of the year, final chase. I scored points on pros this weekend. And Todd, I still got to play you some more games and beat your ass. Or get my ass beat.
Enough said.
Love you, buddy. Where's my Raycon?